Today on the WBGO Journal, I sat down with author, yoga instructor, doula, mother, and York native, Sharon Elise. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Charisma.
How are you today?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. So, I think we all know why we're here today. I don't know how I got here, but here I am, a journey through chaos to find peace in a memoir.
Yeah.
So, what is this memoir all about?
This memoir is my journey, my life story. I'm featuring several recollections and memories, different experiences through my life, and talking about the lessons I learned from those experiences. So it really is the story of my life and the things that have led me to where I am today.
If you could think of three pivotal things in the story that galvanized your writing the book in the first place, what would they be?
I would have to say first is the loss of my father. My father passed away when I was 7 years old, and death has been a huge and major teacher for me throughout my life. It's a major theme within the book, just death, grief, and loss. So that would definitely be the one thing. I would say then from there, I would say my relationship with my mother. Because I lost my father, my relationship with my mother changed because my mother went from co-parenting me to now being a single mom, and that was a huge transition for her to go through. So it obviously affected she and I's relationship. And then the third thing I would say would be moving away and actually having the opportunity to leave the state of New Jersey and live in Massachusetts for 2 years and like just really traveling. It really changed the direction of my life for sure.
What was it like? How long did it take you, to write the book? And then what was it like throughout the publishing process, throughout the drafting and the revising, and then having a second pair of eyes to look at it? What was that whole process look? Because I understand this is your first book.
Yes, this is my first book. I'm actually currently working on the second one. So that'll be out hopefully, if not next year, the following year. But the process actually, it took 17 years to write this book. And yeah, 17 years. I've been writing it since my eighth grade year in elementary school. And so, 17 long years. And then when I finally, I would say the last 3 years of the 17 was when I really, you know, sat down and started to organize the stories and really put the pieces of the puzzles together. It was a very emotional process, quite honestly, because I loved journaling as a kid. I'm a writer by nature. You know, my grandmother tells me all the time that I wrote my first story when I was 4 years old on Whitney Houston. And so, yeah, like I started writing it, and then it was like, okay, I'm going to turn this into a book. And then it was putting it together. And so I was going back to my journals and diaries and looking at just different experiences of my life. That was very traumatizing. It brought up a whole lot of mess for me. I was judging myself. I'm like, oh my God, this was the life you were living. You know, it was really, it took a while for me to really go through all of my journals and look at those writings with compassion, for sure. Because there was a lot of judgment that I had to get through and a lot of guilt and shame that was built up there. And my editor, Simone, Fatou Simone Churchman, she did an excellent job of helping me to navigate my emotional baggage that I was carrying along with me and really saying, like, is this how you currently feel or is this how your younger self feel? Because you're talking about a past experience, but you're projecting your present emotions on them. I'm like, oh, okay, you know. So, but it really made me just address some things that I hadn't yet healed from. But it was a very beautiful, beautiful, beautiful process. I loved, you know, when I finally did read the finished copy and read it without eyes of the writer, without eyes of an author, without eyes of an editor, just read it to enjoy the art. I thought this is a beautiful piece of work, for sure.
I think so too. Honestly, there's a lesson on every page, and I want you to kind of speak to that in addition to one challenge you had when writing the story.
Getting through my own stuff. Like, I was my biggest obstacle. I judged myself so much. I didn't think I was good enough. I did not think, who are you to write a book? Who are you to think that you could write a book? You know, it really, even now, I think the book has been out coming up on 8 months, and I don't think I've yet celebrated, not the way I should have, to really just be in the sense of abundance and gratitude for being able to accomplish something so major. And so, yeah, that was, you know, my biggest challenge, getting over myself, getting, you know, we are our own worst enemy. A lot of times we, you know, that monkey mind gets going and it starts saying all these things to you that are not true, that are negative. And so that was my biggest obstacle, getting through myself, getting over myself.
And where can we find the book?
It's available on Amazon. You can just go to Amazon and search I Don't Know How I Got Here, But Here I Am. And it will be the only thing that comes up because there's nothing else with the title for sure.
And what are you currently working on outside of being an author?
Outside of being an author, so one, I run Lightworkers Publishing Company. It's a digital design and publishing company. We help aspiring authors and entrepreneurs craft their own stories and help them. We do ghostwriting. We do, you know, we publish it. So that's been exciting. That's what I was actually doing before I wrote the book. I was actually ghostwriting books for other people. And I was like, why am I doing this for other people and not really doing it for myself? So that's really what inspired me. And then we recently, just this month, launched our brand Night Fairy Wellness, which is a holistic wellness platform that specializes in holistic health and wellness education for women of color. We, you know, our mission, we are dedicated to helping women of color achieve total body wellness and find peace in their lives.
And I'm so glad that you mentioned your target audience could be women of color. What could women of color take away from the book, I Don't Know How I Got Here, But Here I Am? Because it struck me as, you know, we tend to follow or subscribe to the stigma that we're so angry. And we don't have all the answers, but we like to think we do. And we don't ask for help. Why is it important for everyone to tune in to this story particularly?
I think that, thank you. I love that you said that about black women being angry, and I want to speak to that point before answering your question. I think that black women are angry because we carry a lot. We carry a whole lot, and we're not talking about all that we're carrying. And sometimes it feels like we're alone and we're carrying this baggage all by ourselves. But we're not alone because you got your baggage, I got my baggage, you know, your sister got her baggage. We all have these different sufferings that we have to deal with. And I talk about that in the book, that life is all suffering. And it's how we choose to respond to our suffering that makes it lighter. It makes it more manageable. Instead of saying, woe is me, saying, thank you, God, for this. Because I know that if you're giving me this, you got something way better for me to come. And if I get through this, God, you know, imagine what more I can get through. And so I think that the book is beneficial for any person to read, not just for women of color, but anyone to read if someone is struggling with understanding their suffering, understanding what's currently showing up in their life. Why am I struggling financially? Why am I struggling emotionally? Why won't my kids connect with me? Why, you know, won't my mother understand what I'm going through? I think that it will give you insight into an understanding of what I experienced and how I dealt with my suffering. But hopefully, I hope that people walk away with a reflection of saying, I can connect with that here. You know, I'm going through this too. And just choosing a different response for themselves, because I feel like life is just all of how we respond to it. And I'm still learning, not that I've learned, I'm still learning to respond to life from a space of abundance and of bliss. And it's a work, it's a challenge. But I want people to know that they're not alone and that we're all going through something.
I agree. And what does Night Fairy Wellness have? Because I understand that you just launched it.
Yeah.
What do we have in store? What can we look out for with Night Fairy Wellness?
Oh, I envision, you know, my 5-year plan for Night Fairy, I hope to one day have a brick and mortar where people can actually come and do yoga and meditation and learn about essential oils and body cleanses and like all these amazing, amazing things that contribute to our health and well-being. We don't sometimes equate to our illnesses and our disease. We don't relate it to what we're putting in our body, the things that we're eating, the lotions we're putting on our body. So I want to be able to provide that education as well. But we are recently and more presently, we're putting together a retreat this October called Fall Into Wellness in the beautiful Poconos Mountains. It's a 3-day, 2-night retreat. Where we're going to be doing 3-day, 2-night retreat. I'm sorry. It's a 3-day, 2-night retreat where we're going to be offering 5 enriching workshops, particularly surrounding 5 points of wellness, being spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, and financial wellness, which I believe that we as women of color are struggling with. And can use a lot of education resources and tools to help us navigate those spaces. And so, yeah, we're going to talk about the workshops. We're going to be doing yoga. We're going to be doing hiking. We're going to be meditating. It's going to be just a beautiful, beautiful time to connect with nature, to disconnect from the busyness of everyday life, and to just really attune into the importance of total body wellness. And hopefully the participants will walk away feeling like, you know, they have made wellness or can make wellness a part of their lifestyle.
Oh, okay, got it. I want you to also talk about your work as a doula and what that is like. Is it, because I know we don't usually, and when I say we, I mean people who belong to or come from marginalized, underserved communities don't necessarily have access to childbirths outside of our traditional hospital settings and where we have to pay for our skin contact. What are those rates like? Do they vary for different families? Or did you embark on a journey of becoming an assistant to childbirth for women like us to have like access to that luxury?
I wouldn't say it's a luxury. I would say it's a necessity. It is absolutely a necessity, especially because we don't have access to alternative forms of childbirth like midwives and birthing centers. And so a doula offers you the opportunity to have someone that is educated in the medical system and help you to navigate it. May have access to different resources and education that you don't have access to. So they're able to communicate different things that maybe you don't understand. Because I think a lot of the times when people don't understand, we get fearful of being ignorant, and by ignorant I mean not knowing, and our not knowingness causes us to be fearful and we don't say anything, we don't speak up. And in childbirth, because it's just a very touchy, a very out of this world experience, you need someone who can help you to navigate that, that is physically here, that's not going to be moved by the emotional vibrations of the space, that can really hold that ground and hold that space. And that's the importance, I feel, of doulas in and of the work. And I didn't necessarily become a doula to give access to people who didn't have access to it. I became a doula because of my own trauma and what I experienced with my own birthing experience and not wanting other women to have that experience and to not go through that. And the pricing, it can vary. It can go from anywhere to $600 to most, I'm thinking of like $1,500. And the reason why I'm saying it's a necessity is because I feel like people, particularly now because it's become a fad, they're looking at it as a luxury. And so it's like, oh, you know, if it's the $1,500 side, oh, I can't afford that. But no, you have to think about the amount of time that this person is serving you and being of service to you. And I think we disconnect time from the service. But when a woman is going into labor, she can labor for 24 hours or more. And so that's a 24-hour support person that has now left their life, left, you know, they've uprooted themselves from their experience of being to come be fully present with you. And that's just in the delivery room. We're not talking about the work that's done before entering into that space that comes with prep time, whether it's, you know, the prenatal visits, going to the doctor's appointments. It's a lot of time that goes into serving a woman and being in that space. And so you want to find someone that you can connect with, that you trust and that you're going to listen to, and that you can have a great level of rapport with. But two, you want someone that, you know, you value their time and you value their service, because it's bigger than, you know, just having someone be present with you. It's a very sacred experience. I'm grateful that God called me to it. It's not one of those things that I chose for myself, for sure.
Nice. And I know that you are very spiritual, and you, like you said, experienced childbirth not once but twice. You just welcomed baby Solomon, you and your husband. And I wanted to know what that's like, just trying to navigate being so present in all your spaces and institutions and then still be a full-time mom.
Oh, it's very challenging. But, you know, as I talked about, we all have our burdens to bear. And so for me, it was about, hey, if this is the life that I want and this is the life I'm saying I want, how can I show up and be more present? And this is where tools like yoga and meditation come into play for me. And anytime I feel myself getting anxious, anytime I feel myself losing it or wanting to, you know, go to the other end of the spectrum and feeling down on myself, I use affirmations. I have sort of these resources, I call them, in my toolkit that I access and I go to. Journaling is another one. You know, just being able to release whatever it is I'm feeling in my body, because it's all energy that we're experiencing. So when we have those negative thoughts, write it down on paper. Where is this coming from? Why am I thinking this way? And if you're able to release it outside of your mind, it makes you feel better inside your body, where you're able to breathe into the experience more. And so, yeah, being a doula, being a yoga instructor, you know, those things helped me to be a better mom, essentially. Learning yoga. I did a blog post on it. Yoga saved my life, and it saved my marriage, because, you know, it really made me become more present to say, hey, where have you been? You've been gone. Why are you, you know? And then it's like, oh, I've been in my mind. I've been thinking all this time. I've been only thinking. I haven't been being able to be present. And so, yeah, I love being able to be with my kids and navigate that, and to be present with them and to have work and be present at work, and then to be present with my husband, and then to be present with my kids. Now being present here with you, I try to be intentional about being present in the things that I invest my time in, because I don't want to forget my life. I want to live it, and I want to make conscious choices about the decisions I'm making so that I can fully experience it and fully experience life in on all of its abundance and magnitude.
And I also know that you spend your time, I know that you're very, like, vigilant and diligent, and I know I'm saying a lot of ints right now, but you also allocate your time to different things. You blog, you podcast, you write, you heal. What else do you do?
Oh, my God, so much. I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a daughter, I'm a friend. Some people might consider me to be their therapist and mentor. I am a writer. I'm now a podcaster. I'm about to do a YouTube channel that's going to be video. I'm a healer. I teach prenatal yoga. I do so many things. And really, time management. It's been the single most important thing I've done for myself. I'm reading a book right now by Valerie Burton called It's About Time. And it really has changed my mind. It really is. And it's a really great read. Not like The Alchemist, where you want to read it and, like, finish it because it's so good. It's one of those reads that's just so good that you want to sit with it and, like, really take it in, because it's like, oh, this is really good. It's hitting me on so many different levels. But really, one of the things, she has assessments in the book, and it's like, where are you spending your time? And I noticed that I was using 100% of my time. I said, oh my God, that means I'm multitasking. And really, I was overtime when I did it, because I was like erasing things. I'm like, oh, this is supposed to be for the 24 hours. I'm at 28 or 32. It's only 24 hours in a day. How are you using 32 of your hours? But really, I was multitasking and doing multiple things at once, and really not able to show up fully present for some things. It's like, okay, how much time are you spending with your kids? And it's like, oh, 12 hours. But within that 12 hours, I'm also working. I'm also doing all these other things. And I did not want to do that. I had this crazy sense of anxiety. I'll tell you something. Yesterday, this week, I finally caught up to my to-do list. So, like, I can breathe. I feel like I can breathe. I feel so much lighter. Yesterday, I felt so uncomfortable, and I could not figure out why. I'm like, I don't have anything on my to-do list. I can actually chill and breathe. I don't have to worry about the million things I have to do. Why am I feeling uncomfortable? I was feeling uncomfortable because my body had gotten comfortable with feeling anxious. And now that I wasn't feeling anxious, it felt weird to me. It felt normal. It felt, what do you call it? It felt weird to feel normal. Normal felt weird. And I thought that was bizarre to me. I'm like, how is this crazy? Like, you're used to being so anxious. Then I had to, like, really breathe in the moment and said, no, my mind was starting to create things that I had to do. And I'm like, you don't have to really do that. That's not urgent. You know what I mean? Just so I can get anxious again. Isn't that bizarre? Yeah.
It's amazing.
But I just was like, no, I'm going to sit with this. I'm going to sit with this discomfort. I took a shower. I used some essential oils. I journal. And I was like, no, I don't want to be anxious. I want to breathe. I'm going to go outside. I'm going to smell. We have to lean into that discomfort. You know, a lot of times it's like, oh, I'm uncomfortable. I'm going to go drink. I'm going to go smoke. I'm going to go feed my discomfort with something. No, I want to sit with this. I want to know why I'm feeling this way. I want to know, where is this coming from? so that I can really, you know, heal that wound, you know? So, yeah, I do a lot, but time management is key, and planning. Time management and planning has helped me really manage my life differently.
And it sounds like, if anything, you freelance and you are in control of your schedule. What could you say to someone who wants to be a young entrepreneur like yourself?
I kind of got blessed into this position just being married. And, you know, after I had my daughter, my husband and I talked, and he was like, you know, if you don't want to go back to work, you don't have to. You want to be a writer. Now is the time for you to start writing. And so I started doing that. If it's someone who is already working and already, you know, in a sort of a 9-to-5 full-time space, I would say maximize your free time. The time that you are watching reality TV, the time that you are listening to podcasts, the time that you are on Netflix, use that time wisely to research what it is that you want to do, what market it is that you want to go into. Start using your time more wisely is the best piece of advice I can, because a lot of times from my clients, I hear a lot of time, I don't have enough time, I have kids, I do this, and when I come home, I'm tired. That's excuses. Because if you find time to be on social media, if you find time for Netflix, if you find time for all these other things that are draining your time, you can find time to do what you want to do for yourself. And I think that a lot of the time we make excuses for, you know, the things that fear us the most. And it's like time to just stop making excuses for ourselves and say, hey, this is what I really want to do. And so I'm going to do it, and I'm going to find the time. One night I stayed up till 5 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, to get the website for Night Fairy Wellness done. And that's with a 4-month newborn baby that was waking up in between that time frame, needing to be nursed and fed and changed. I was dogged tired the next day, but I did what needed to be done because it was something I said I wanted to do. And so I think it's really just about not making excuses for ourselves and really, you know, being in control of our time and not making it about somebody else being in control of our time. We are in control of our lives. And that's what I want. Whoever is listening or reading this, we are in control of our lives.
And could the same piece of advice go to someone who wants to write a book? Or do you have a separate piece of advice for, you know, that someone who, like you, are, you know, manifesting this very meaningful story? It could take years. I met Colson Whitehead from the Underground Railroad, and he just released a new book called The Nickel Boys. And the Underground Railroad took him 18 years to write. A masterpiece, completely. Like, it was like, it was nominated for a Pulitzer Prize if it hadn't won one, and it was on Oprah's book list, and he's just a phenomenal man. He actually had a read it down at the Express Newark building, and it was absolutely amazing. And so when you said 17, I didn't think that was far-fetched. So what advice could you give someone who is wet behind the ears, just barely touching the world of academia, but really wants to get their story out there?
Start now. Start today, right now. Start with a paragraph. Start with a sentence. Start. Just start writing your story. Start writing down your experiences. Don't worry about organizing it. Don't worry about editing it. Don't worry about the sound, the voice. Just write. Just start. That's the best piece of advice I can give.
And could you market the book a little bit more? Because I know, you know, I've read it, but our audience hasn't. What are some unique features in the book? I know...
Well, you know, each chapter offers a lesson that I learned from the story in my life. I feel like if I had to say I have a favorite chapter, I think Metamorphosis would be my favorite chapter, because that's the space in my life where I learned the most. I learned the importance of disconnecting. I learned the importance of removing yourself from your comfort zone. I moved to Massachusetts where I didn't know anyone. I didn't know anyone. And it was very discomforting. Oh, it was the most uncomfortable time of my life, but I learned the most about myself during that time. And it allowed me to reinvent myself or find myself. I wasn't even reinventing myself. It was who I always was, but I wasn't able to be myself because I had lived so much of my life being projected on by my family, my friends, you know, mentors. I never really had time alone, and so the importance of stillness and getting away from your comfort zone is really important because it allows you to sit with that discomfort. And so the book really just offers a testament of what you two can do to get through your suffering. And maybe you are not, you know, in the space of your life where you need to accept change. Maybe you've already accepted change, but maybe you're struggling with faith. And there's a whole chapter, O Ye of Little Faith, where you have to understand the importance of having faith and relying on God, universe, source, whatever you, you know, identify as the higher being or the higher entity for our purpose of being here. This book, I feel, gives grounding to anyone who is lost. Wherever you are in life, if you are lost, lost in your anxiety, lost in your depression, lost in your guilt, in your shame, whatever your it is, if you just feel lost and disconnected, then this book is for you. It's going to give you something to hold on to and give you a roadmap to help you to navigate out of that space. Yeah, that's what I would say.
Okay. When you moved to Massachusetts, was that post-college, headed into a certain career? What exactly was that pivotal transition, like that phase of your life?
So I had just finished my master's degree. I was fed up with New Jersey. There was nothing else here for me, I felt. My family was going through some very chaotic trauma in their life during that time. I had ended a really bad relationship during that. It was nothing holding me here. And so I had a friend, my good girlfriend, Dr. Lavelle, Dr. Jennifer Lavelle. She is a PhD living out in California. And she inspired me to apply. She said, "Sharon, you can do this. You can get your PhD." And I was like, "Jen, you know, all of the application deadlines have already passed. There's no way." She was like, "No, we're gonna do it. So she actually helped me research a few schools that I was interested in. I think we came up with maybe 6 or 7 schools, and then I narrowed it down to 2 because I was like all in, but not really in. Also at the time, I was a classmate who had applied to like 12 doctoral programs, and I was like, okay, if he can apply to 12, I can at least apply to 2. And so I applied to 2, and my thought was, I'm from New Jersey and New York is right here. I want a new experience, so I'm going to go somewhere new. So I literally chose schools in New Hampshire and New Mexico, the state New Mexico. I got accepted to the school in New Hampshire, and I didn't get into the school in New Mexico, so that's how I ended up in New Hampshire. I did not want to live in New Hampshire because the population of people of color is less than 1%, and that was a discomfort I wasn't yet at the time ready to deal with. And so I moved to Massachusetts, and I commuted 2 hours to school every week. Yeah, every week, 2 hours to school. That's how I got there. And marriage and family therapy is what I studied. It's what taught me systems thinking and the importance of understanding how these systems work together and how we're all connected and how we can heal. That's where I did a lot of my spiritual education. I was supposed to be studying marriage and family, right? But I was studying myself. I was studying me and my family, and it brought me to the root of my spiritual disconnect and how I had been so disconnected from God, which I speak a lot about in the book, how I was so disconnected from God and how I needed to reconnect and replant roots in my spiritual practice, whatever that looked like. And I would say that was the starting point of my spiritual journey and of me evolving into the person I am today.
And the person you are today is a mom of a boy and a girl, or maybe I should be more chronological with it. You have Savannah, she is 3.
Yeah.
And then you have Solomon, who's like not even 1.
4 months.
He's 4 months?
Yes. 4 months.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Yes. Okay. So, I want you to say that. Like, the person I am today is one of...
The person that I am today is a wife. I am the mother of a beautiful 3-year-old girl, Savannah, and a handsome face, 4-month-old chunky baby boy, Solomon. I am a holistic wellness practitioner, a doula, a yoga instructor, and an all-around spiritual life enthusiast. I love talking about life and our meaning of life and what gives us purpose. That's what I would say who I am.
Thank you, Sharon, for stopping by and speaking with me today on the WBGO Journal.
Thank you for having me, Charisma. I appreciate you so much.